Corinthians, and then Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. So Ephesians chapter 6, we'll be there in a minute. So as you're coming in, I did something this morning I've never done before. I forgot my PowerPoint at home. I know, but ta-da, look at my, I have to brag on my wife again. She drove. Drove fiercely. You only live less than 5 minutes away. That's kind of nice. I forget something almost every Sunday morning, but we didn't realize I'd forgotten this till, right at the break. So anyway, thanks to my wonderful wife for running and getting that and for Cammy noticing it before I got up here. So not that we have to have that, but it's kind of helpful sometimes to actually know what, oh, that's what he's saying. Okay. I didn't really get that the first time. No. Well, let's pray as we begin. Lord, thank you for being here with us. And Holy Spirit, thank you for speaking to each of our hearts as only you can individually. So that's our prayer again. And as we kind of focus on you, Holy Spirit, this morning and your work in our lives and specifically in the area of prayer, would you, as only you can, show us a little bit more of who you are, of your work in our lives and your love for us, and how you want us to draw closer to you. So thank you for this portion of your word that shows us a little bit more of who you are. And may we be able to learn and, more importantly, apply these truths to our lives. In Christ's name, amen. Well, Carl maybe is like some of you. How many of you grew up going to church? Okay. Maybe how many of you didn't, like me, didn't grow up going to church? How many of you didn't raise your hands? No. Oh, there I got you. So quite a few of you grew up going to church. Carl grew up going to church. He grew up in a Christian home. We call it a Christian home. And he would pray. His family would pray before every meal and usually before bed, especially when he was younger. And they would pray in church like we did this morning. But he rarely, rarely took time to pray any other time. Now, he believed in God, right? He believed that God listened to his prayers. But for whatever reasons, he rarely took the time or really felt the ability or sometimes even the desire to pray other than those times. Now, Julia's a little different. Julia grew up Catholic. How many grew up Catholic here? Okay, good, pretty good group. And she believed that praying was important as well. She would pray her Hail Mary. She knew the Lord's Prayer by heart. And she often prays the rosary when she felt a need to talk to God. If you asked her, do you pray? And she would say, yes, I pray. For me, let's bring it right. For me, I didn't grow up going to church. Except for maybe Christmas and Easter, right? The Creasters, as we call ourselves. But I still believed in God at that time, even though I didn't go to church, and I still prayed. Matter of fact, I prayed quite a bit at different times, especially in the winter. I remember when there was a forecast for snow, I would pray for snow so that we could get out of school and I could go sledding on this big hill that I lived on. And God answered, I was sure God answered that prayer a couple of times. I knew it. There were, of course, a lot of you know my fanaticism for sports in general. And so I prayed quite a bit when I was watching my favorite sports team that God help them to win this big game. And I was sure at least one time that he answered that prayer. I mean, it was a miracle. It was just, remember the Hail Mary? No, I was kidding. Not that one. But for me, that's, I kind of prayed when I was scared. So that was, for me, whenever there was something that I really wanted or something that was a really difficult time, I would pray. We all come from different backgrounds, different traditions, right? And you guys probably have stories of maybe how you prayed, or maybe you grew up, you never really prayed. Maybe you didn't even really believe in God. But it's interesting. We've been talking the last couple of weeks about life-changing prayer. And something I want you to know, I want you to experience that prayer is not just a ritual. Prayer is not just something religious that we do, but rather it's based on a relationship with Jesus, right? We talked about our very first message a couple weeks ago. We talked about going before the throne of grace, right? Going before the throne of grace that we can approach confidently because of Jesus, because of what Jesus has done for us. He died on the cross and rose from the grave. And when we accept that, we can come into his presence with confidence about anything and anytime. Last week, we talked about how God wants us to bring our prayers, our petitions, our needs before him. And when we do that, he says that he offers, matter of fact, I think it's a promise. He promises us his peace. Not always right away, but he promises a peace. And he says that peace guards, you remember what it guards? Anybody remember? It guards our hearts and our minds, right? We talked about that. Prayer can change our lives. Why? Because it's a direct communication with God. Stop and think about that for a minute. It's a pretty profound thought that we can have direct communication with God. And the more we understand prayer, the more we understand probably our need for God's help to pray. You know, it's pretty easy to pray, you know, about certain things, but other things it's much more difficult. As a matter of fact, we're going to see this morning that sometimes we don't even have the words to pray. We're going to talk about that. You've probably experienced that. There's probably times in your life where you are praying, you want to pray, but you don't even have the words. And that's where the Holy Spirit helps us to pray. See, I believe God wants us to go beyond just a prayer at a meal. That's fine. He wants us to go beyond just kind of the ritual prayer, maybe with your kids before bed, or even just praying together as a church once a week. God wants prayer to be something that is personal for you, a part of your life. God wants to lead us into a closer relationship with him, and I believe from God's words we see that that only can happen as we are led by the Holy Spirit, as we allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. Now, there is an important relationship between prayer and the Holy Spirit. Now, first of all, as we look at this, we need to recognize and understand who the Holy Spirit is. And so a little bit, first of all, the Bible teaches the Holy Spirit is not an it, okay? He is not a force, you know, like Star Wars, the movies come out. He's not a ghost. He's not like Casper the Friendly Ghost floating around. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, okay? And the reason we have this, the idea of spirit, is because we are, part of who we are is made up of spirit as well, right? We have a body and we have a spirit, or sometimes we call a soul. And actually, as we're going to see, I'll remind you later on, it says when we accept Christ, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, comes and resides within us, within our own spirit. We have this communion. And so as we talk about this whole idea of prayer and this whole idea of the Holy Spirit, it is this idea of our spirit and God's spirit connecting, okay? So hopefully that makes a little more sense there. Our faith without the Holy Spirit actually is powerless, especially in our prayer life. So if you haven't already, and you have a Bible on your phone or hopefully maybe a physical one, turn to Ephesians 6, 17 and 18. Ephesians 6, 17 and 18. I hope that you guys have Bibles at home at least, or I encourage you as we talk to be reading your Bible. We've been challenged about prayer. We talk about reading God's Word. We gave you some different devotional options. I hope that you read it throughout the week and you know, learn more. But let's look at Ephesians 6, 17 and 18 to start off. Paul's writing this letter to a church that's in the city of Ephesus. The church, the bunch of churches, not just like one local church, but all the churches. And he says this. In verse 17, he says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray, here we go, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert. Always keep on praying for all the saints or for all the believers. When it says saints here, in my version, some of you may say for brothers or sisters or for the church. It's, the saints are you and me. Okay, it's not like somebody who died who, I mean, they're saints too, but somebody who died who did amazing things. The Bible, when it talks about saints, is talking about every believer in Christ. So he says, pray for believers. And then in Jude, verse 20, it says this, but you, dear friends, build yourselves up in the most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. As Christians, we are called to pray in the Holy Spirit. Now, some of you, maybe you grew up in church, you might hear that and you might maybe have the wrong idea. Maybe you think, well, that's something that's kind of strange. I've heard about praying in the Holy Spirit. It's not like where you start speaking other languages and stuff. Not necessarily. When it talks about praying in the Spirit, in literally means a communion. When we say that we are in Christ, what does that mean? It means that we are in relationship or in communion, okay, with God. And it's the same with the Holy Spirit. It isn't something weird. It's not something scary. But to pray in the Holy Spirit literally means to have communion in relationship with the Holy Spirit. So as we look at this context, whenever you look at a passage, especially if you only take a couple of verses, it's important for me as a pastor and for you even reading the Bible is to see the context of what it's talking about. The context, if you read Ephesians 6, is talking about what we can call spiritual warfare, talking about the armor of God. It's talking about how to have a relationship with God and protect yourself from kind of the things that are out there in the world that war against our soul, okay? And so it says here that we're to take up the sword of the Spirit. You heard that phrase before? The sword of the Spirit. What's the sword of the Spirit? It's right there. Your answer is right there. The sword of the Spirit is the word of God. Okay? A sword, right? A sword is something that's on the offense and defense. God's word is something that protects us as well as helps us go out and do our job as Christians, to be the kind of Christians he wants us to be. It's interesting. We see we're to take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And so as we pray in the Spirit, we see first and foremost, part of praying the Spirit is we have to be praying according to what? His word, the truth that he's given to us. The word of God is really one of the primary means that the Holy Spirit uses to make himself alive to our hearts and minds. Remember he said he guards our hearts and minds? One of the ways that he does that as we pray is through his word. And as we know his word, we know better how and what to pray for, right? I kind of know now that I'm older and more mature that, you know, I don't necessarily pray for my Dallas Cowboys to win every week. Now, I really hope God cares about it, but I really don't pray about that as much as you think I do. Because I know that's probably, and the God's word doesn't really say, you know, your sports team is really important to the eternal effect of my plan, right? But there are other things that I pray that certainly are according to his word. As we see here, he says to pray for the saints, to pray for one another. The Holy Spirit wants to help guide our prayers by his word. You know, that's why prayer and God's word goes together. We have to, you know, if you only pray, you're missing half of it. If you only read God's word and don't pray, then you're missing the other. They go together. It's that whole way of listening as well as talking to God. So Paul says, interesting, he says, keep alert. Or some versions say, watch out. The best ways we watch out, that we can keep alert, I believe, according to this context, is by, first of all, making sure that we have the helmet of salvation, that we know Christ, right? That protects our minds, it protects who we are, but then also we have the sword of the Spirit, God's word, that leads us. Scripture guides our lives and our prayers. But to pray in the Holy Spirit is something that God wants for all of us. He wants us to be in tune with his Spirit. So how can we make sure that we're praying in the Spirit, in the Holy Spirit, okay? Well, first ways that we actually seek, we desire to be led by the Holy Spirit. It has to be a desire that you want, to be led by God's Spirit. True Christian prayer is ultimately always by his Spirit, okay? In other words, it's always led by him. I hope everybody got one of these. Actually, there's a couple more in the back. Did anybody not get one of these? Raise your hand. Anybody need one of these right now? Don't be shy, okay? Good job, Sherry. You did it. Everybody got one. And we're gonna kind of, this is going to be a guide for you this morning a little bit. But more importantly, the reason I made it, I've made some of these kind of things in the past, but it's for you to keep. And maybe you want to put it in your Bible. If you do read your Bible regularly, put it there, and it will help you as you prepare for prayer. Maybe you want it in your car if you're praying on your way to work. Or maybe you want it, you know, in your office or in the bathroom, wherever it is you pray, you know. I know somebody prays in the shower, I've heard that. So maybe you want to laminate that and make sure it's waterproof and do that. So whatever it is, all right? We see here there's some basic steps of being led or another, it's also, I think, being filled with the Holy Spirit. Being led and being filled are really, I think they're synonymous. So the first step of praying in the Spirit is confession, is submission. Living and praying in the Spirit implies a continual and active interaction with God, the Holy Spirit. Now, again, as I said, you know, the Holy Spirit isn't a ghost, okay? Not a force. The Holy Spirit is third person of the Trinity. Holy Spirit is someone that we communicate with. He resides within every believer in Jesus Christ. We're called to submit to God, right? So to be in relationship with the Holy Spirit, we must submit. One of the ways that we submit our lives is through confession. Okay, in other words, to be right with God, we have to say, God, forgive me. Make me right with you. Forgive me for this sin. Forgive me for these selfish aspirations that, you know, are simply about me. And you've shown that to me. Think about this. Anytime you pray is an act of submission, right? Think about it. Anytime that you choose to pray, you are submitting yourself. You're saying, God, I need you. I can't do it all on my own. Those who never pray, basically they're saying, I got it. I can handle life on my own. But those of us who pray to God say, you know what? I don't got it. I need your help. It's an act of submission. It's saying we need God and we can't do it on our own. And part of that is also confession and realizing, you know what, God, I don't always follow you the way I should. Please forgive me. Paul challenged the Christians in Galatia, another town. He said this in Galatians 3:3. He said, after beginning with the Holy Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? How many of us do that? We start out, right, when we first start following God, and we really rely upon him. We ask him and pray, help me to do this. Help me to make a wise decision with my family, with my work, you know, and the things I do. And then, but as we go along, all of a sudden we stop praying maybe, and we start doing things on our own. And that's what the Galatian church was starting to do. They're starting to just focus on doing things themselves. He says, you started with the Spirit. Are you now going to try to achieve your way to God? Our lack of intimacy with God in prayer is often because we try to live life on our own, right? Think, I got this handled. It's also often due to a refusal to slow down, or what I would say in our culture is to unplug. You know what I mean? To unplug from our phone, to unplug from our TV, to unplug from whatever that device is, you know, that seems to always take up all of our time. Why do we need to do that? Well, so we can be alone with God, so that we can hear him instead of the zzz, zzz, or the ding or the, you know, whatever it is that draws our attention away from him. We need to confess. We need to submit ourselves daily. Part of that submission, as we've talked about in our 10-minute challenge, is finding a time where you can put that stuff aside and just focus on God. So that's submission. And then with that confession, the second step to the Spirit you see on your little bookmark there is obedience, to obey. Galatians 5:16, again, Paul said, so I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. The more that you allow the Spirit of God, ask him to help, the less you're going to indulge in the things that are not pleasing to God. Francis Chan, Pastor Francis Chan, some of you have heard of him, may have read a book of his, but he has a book on the Holy Spirit, and he says this, one quote. He says, if you say you want the Holy Spirit, if you say, you know, hopefully each of you say, I want the Holy Spirit, I want him to work in my life. If you say you want the Holy Spirit, you must first honestly ask yourself if you want to do his will. Because if you do not generally want to know and do his will, why do you ask for his presence at all? That's kind of bold and challenging. In other words, you say, I want God in my life, but you're not willing to obey him. Do you really want God in your life? Do you really want the Holy Spirit to lead you? To be powerful in prayer is to be led by the Holy Spirit, and to be led by the Holy Spirit is to listen and to obey him. To obey what? His word, right? We looked at that earlier. John Calvin, you know, been gone a long time, but he's written some really great things. This is a real simple sentence, but it's pretty profound. John Calvin said that our heart may always be inflamed, on fire, with a growing desire of seeking, loving, and serving him. In other words, another word we could use to wrap those up, obeying him. Oh, that we'd be inflamed, that we'd have a passion, a desire to obey God. The more we allow him to lead our lives, the more we're able to obey. And that allows, it's kind of a snowball effect, isn't it? When we're being led by the Spirit, we're also, this scene number three is to have a prayer-filled life. In other words, prayer needs to be a part of your life. You need to ask God, and he will help you to be reminded to pray. Back in Ephesians 6:18, let's focus back there again. It says that we are to pray on all occasions with all kinds of prayers. On all occasions with all kinds of prayers. And he says to be praying for other believers, all right? Be praying for one another, for the concerns of other believers as well as of, you know, those that you go to church with. And we need to be sensitive to God's Spirit as he prompts us throughout the week. And I believe that he does. And probably all of you at some point, I hope, have sense where God has just, he's put on your heart and all of a sudden it comes to your mind, I need to pray for somebody. Maybe remember that, oh yeah, they're going to have surgery this week. Oh yeah, I remember, oh yeah, they were talking to me about their child that's been having a difficult time, you know, and you pray for them. Whatever it is. A lot of times we have those thoughts and go, oh, that's too bad. Or, yeah, oh, that's, those are promptings of God. Say, take a moment, take 30 seconds and pray for them, right? On all occasions, not just on Sunday mornings, not just a home group, not just a youth group, but anytime that God, he says, have a prayer-filled life. We need to be sensitive to God's Spirit speaking and prompting us, okay? Prompting us to do these things. And be assured, here's the thing, when we do that, we can go back to our first message, that we can be assured that God hears us and he answers. We can go before the throne of God with what?
Confidence.
Not in ourselves, but because we have Christ, we have the Holy Spirit. God wants us to listen to his Spirit on a daily basis, even throughout the day, just to be sensitive to that, to listen to his voice. It's kind of, as we've talked about before, it's that inner voice that God speaks to our hearts, and to listen to that. He wants us to listen. Here's an interesting thought. I read this from somebody, and I thought it's pretty true. He said, you know, it says, the truth is we don't really need the Holy Spirit. You don't need the Holy Spirit if you simply want to live a semi-moral life or simply come to church on a regular basis. You don't need the Holy Spirit to that. There's lots of religions that do that, that live a pretty good moral life, and they do their religious duties. I don't want to be like that. I hope you don't either. I want to be led by God, by his Spirit. I want a prayer life that makes a difference. I want a prayer life that's kind of like Christians that I read about in Ethiopia, Africa. A story was written a few years ago, in a World Vision magazine. And it shared about how there was a giant tree that stood on the banks of the Awash River in the arid valley of Ethiopia, Africa. And it stood there like a seeming eternal thing for the people. Matter of fact, they literally worship this tree. It kind of reminds me, Avatar. A lot of you seen Avatar. Remember the tree that was there? That's kind of how they saw this tree there in this community. For years, the people who had lived in this district had faced famines over and over again. And in their suffering, they always looked to this tree for help, believing that the spirits, okay, not the Holy Spirit, but spirits, basically evil, right, gave it divine powers. They worshiped this towering giant of a tree. Matter of fact, adults would pass by and they would kiss the trunk of the tree. And other times they'd walk past and they would talk quietly, hushed, kind of in reverential tones. And the kids, they had a saying, "This tree has saved us." Well, World Vision is a Christian ministry that goes into all different parts of the world to help out in lots of different things. We have sponsored children through World Vision, but they also do projects. And at this particular community, they had an irrigation system to help with famines that would come, with the droughts and so on. But even as they labored here to build that system, this giant tree stood like a forbidding sentinel of kind of the old order, of the things that were holding them captive and not allowing them to hear or certainly receive the gospel of Christ. It was presiding over this community, enslaving them. Why do I say that? Well, because they believed that these spirits had to be satisfied, and so they had offered sacrifices, animal sacrifices, and even other kinds of sacrifices at times. They would have these observance of different taboos that they had to do, kind of spiritism, as we call it. And when World Vision saw what was happening, they realized this is a big barrier to the gospel going. For them, it was a barrier, an idolatrous barrier to the entrance of God's kingdom and to the transformation even of their community, just for basic things like water and so on. And so, as they would do every morning, they gathered together as a staff and as Christians, and they prayed for this community. And one morning, one particular morning, one of the staff, one of God's promises, part of his word, just popped into his mind. One of Jesus' teachings where Jesus said this, "If you have faith, you can say to this tree, be taken up and removed, and it will obey you." You remember that teaching by Jesus, talking about faith and prayer? And they're like, wow, like that's literally what we need to have happen in this community. And so they began to pray that God would strike this tree, that he would literally cause it to die. And so in faith, they began to pray that God would bring down this menacing Goliath, you know, I say, of a tree. Well, actually, soon the word kind of got out to the community that they are praying against this tree, praying about this tree. 6 months later, it didn't happen right away. It wasn't a bolt of lightning that just kind of struck it. No, 6 months, they prayed. 6 months later, the tree began to just dry up. Its leafy foliage disappeared, and finally it collapsed into the riverbed. The people of the community were astonished. They said, "Your God has done this. Your God answers prayer." In the days and weeks afterwards, approximately or over 100 members of the community came to put their faith in Christ. Why? They said because they saw the power displayed in God answering prayer. And they realized this tree was not to be worshipped, but the one who created the tree and destroyed the tree is to be worshipped. And so we see that we need to pray in faith. We also see something also from that story is that we are called, as we are led by the Spirit, to be fervent and persevere in prayer. To be fervent and persevere. Look again, Ephesians 6:18. It says, "With this in mind, be alert and keep on praying." Keep on praying. Listen, Jeremiah 29:3, it says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." And James 5:16, King James Version says this, "The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, a righteous person, avails much." A zeal, a passion for God should pull us, should draw us to pray. You know what Satan fears? The enemies fear when Christians pray. Why? Not because of our prayers, necessarily, but to the one that we're praying to, right? He knows that if we're praying, God is rallied and ready to do his work. And that's why Satan wants to keep all of us. I mean, when I say Satan, Satan's one person, right? He's one fallen angel, but then there are fallen demons, you know, other angels. So when I say that, you know, if Satan, it's kind of not just one person, but you know, when evil, why do we pray so little? You ever wonder that? Why do you read God's word so little? Or why is it hard to do that? That's because that's the one and two, number two things that he doesn't want us to do. If he can keep us busy, if he can keep us too tired, discouraged, distracted by so many things, whether TV or sports or hobbies, that we have no time for God. You keep going to church, he's fine. He likes you. You can go to church. Listen to a message once a week. He doesn't really have that big of a problem with that. But when you start reading God's word and start praying, that's when things happen. That's when God moves. But the challenge is to keep on praying. Right? Those people from World Vision could have just prayed for a week. Oh, it didn't happen. Okay, I guess that's not God's will. No, they kept praying. Sometimes God calls us to keep praying for someone, someones. As a church, we're called to continue to pray for one another. And we're called to pray especially for those who are hurt. Okay, those who are facing hurt and loss, to keep praying. For families who come to Kingdom Kids, to keep praying. For your oikos, right? For your relationships, those who are new. For those relationships of people who don't know the Lord yet, keep praying. Keep praying. Doesn't necessarily mean you pray every day about them, but you regularly are praying about those things. You know, I know God called me to pray and pray for years, especially for my sister and for my brother-in-law, both who had made professions of faith when they were younger but were not walking with God. For almost 20 years, at least 20 years, I prayed for them, and not just me, but I know other family and friends. In the last 10 years, before that, 10 years ago or so, less than that, God did a work in both their lives and brought them through different people back to the Lord. But I prayed for 20 years. At least, I mean, that's just, I don't know exactly how many, it was about 20 years. Regularly for them. Part of being led by the Spirit is listening to him of who he wants you to pray for and continuing to persevere for those that he wants you to pray for. God's word, what does it say here? Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. How do we do that? Well, first of all, by confession, right? Submission, those go together. Obedience, listening to God, saying, no, okay, I want to obey you. I'm not always going to do it. I'm going to make mistakes, but my heart is to obey you. Help me to do that. Help me to be led by your Spirit so I can pray. Because if we're not obeying God, we're probably not praying, right? You ever have a time, like with your spouse, where you get in a fight with them or your parent or a friend? You get in a fight and it's not, and you're not reconciled? Not really easy to share the deep things of your heart with them, right? Usually it's kind of the opposite. You kind of opposite sides of the house or whatever. It's the same with God. That's why obedience and confession. But then also to have a prayer-filled life. Say, God, I want to pray. Give me the discipline. Give me the desire. Help me take the time to pray and help me to persevere. Even if it takes 20 years, I'm going to keep praying if that's that one person you want me to pray for, that one thing you want me to pray for. That's prayer led by the Holy Spirit. But I want to talk about one other aspect of prayer and the Holy Spirit, and it's different, but it's something that I want you to understand. I want you to know, some of you have experienced it and maybe not even known it. If you haven't, you certainly will experience it probably sometime in your life if you're following God. It's found in Romans 8. If you have your Bibles, turn it back a little bit back to Romans chapter 8. Romans 8, 26 to 28. Let me read it to you. Romans 8, 26 to 28. Paul's writing the church, talking about the Spirit of God. Actually, the context of this is actually suffering. The church is going through persecution, and he's sharing about how, you know what, even though you're going through this, you have a future glory. Okay, God knows what you're going through, and he's going to be with you. So with that context, look at verse 26 to 28. It says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. The Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We do not know what we ought to pray, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. Verse 28, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. See, there are times where the Holy Spirit helps us to pray. There's times where the Holy Spirit helps us. Now, we are always to pray, right, to the best of our ability, and to know the Holy Spirit is praying with and for us. But the truth is, there are times where we don't always know what to pray. There are times where we don't really know what to pray. And as we read, the Holy Spirit of God makes intercession in our lives for us. It's amazing. Paul says, we. If you catch that, Paul said, we. He included himself in this. The Apostle Paul doesn't always know what to pray. I mean, like, we have so many amazing prayers that he wrote, and he prayed. And yet he says, there's times in my life where I just don't know how to pray. We're not always good judges of how we should pray or even what's best. That doesn't mean we shouldn't pray, but sometimes we don't know how to verbalize it. And this is especially true in difficult times. This is especially true in times of suffering or persecution, as we see here with the early church. And Paul understood this. Matter of fact, in 1 Corinthians 12, Paul prayed a number of times, says at least three times, that he said that this thorn in the flesh would be taken from him. We're not sure what it is. It might have been a physical ailment. It might have been a spiritual thing. But he said, God, I don't know what you want to do, but would you take this away? But God said, you know what? No, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you at this time. Matter of fact, Paul was imprisoned. He was beaten for his faith, almost killed a couple of times. He faced difficult times and suffering. And so his time said, I didn't even know how to pray. We all face weaknesses. We are all going to face difficult times in our lives, right? There's going to be times where we just don't know what to say. And that's where the Holy Spirit comes in. This is something that is a truth that is so amazing. I want you to grasp it. I was sharing with it this morning with someone about this already. And just the Holy Spirit, when we don't know how to pray, he prays for us. Isn't that crazy? What? The Holy Spirit is... I thought Jesus intercedes for us. Yes, the Holy Spirit does as well. He takes those words that we don't even have and he sends them to the Father. There are times where there's so much discouragement or hurt or pain and we don't have the words to say. You ever had a dream? A dream that was broken? Something that you really thought you wanted to do or that God wanted to do, and all of a sudden it was crushed? And you're just like, why? Maybe you had a broken relationship. A relationship that you thought you would have forever, and yet it was torn apart. Or when you find out that you have a terrible disease, or that your loved one or you are facing a devastating circumstance in your future. Or as many of us, all of us who love the Willises are facing, you know, when you lose a loved one, right? There's no words. There's really no words. There's only pain and tears. And sometimes it's interesting, those inward groans. He uses this, says, there's these inward groans. You ever had that? I mean, where your heart is just groaning? It says, the Holy Spirit knows what you need, and he prays for you. It's at times like these where our only prayers are inward, and sometimes even literally outward groans. John Murray, great pastor in Great Britain area, said this, as God searches the heart of his children, he finds unuttered groanings. Though unuttered and not audible, there is meaning and intent that cannot escape the omniscient eye of God. Do you catch what he's saying? He's saying there's things that are inside you can't even verbalize, but God, in his omniscience, knows about them. He doesn't miss them, even though you can't verbalize them. He says, they are taken by the Holy Spirit and brought to God the Father and brought according to his will. It's a mystery. But God, as we say, he knows our hearts, right? We say that and he knows our thoughts. If he does, then he knows the inward prayers that we have. The Holy Spirit, somebody said it's a picture of this. The Holy Spirit is like a mother kneeling at the bedside of a sick child, and her prayers and her cries and her groanings are presented. She takes her child's needs and presents them to God. That's the Holy Spirit. That's what the Holy Spirit is for us. He kneels beside us, and he prays for us when we don't have the words to even pray. You know, I've sensed this a couple times in my life. Not a lot, but I can remember two times. First was, I remember one was in the death of my father. And just that instant, it was a sudden death. So it was, you know, kind of just one of those quick things was the hardest. And not only was, you know, my time of mourning, but then trying to comfort and help my mom and sister during this time. Another time was a time I was told by the national leader of church planting that I had not been approved to start a church in Hubbard. And both those times, it was kind of a shock. Shock to the system. I didn't even know how to pray. Didn't even know what to pray because both of them were like, didn't expect this at all. But as I went through that, it was interesting. I know that the Holy Spirit was right there with me. And there's this great truth and comfort that even though in your life there'll be a time where you don't know how to pray, you can know that as you're being led by the Holy Spirit in your life, that the Holy Spirit is there for you. Listen again to verse 28. A lot of us know this verse if we've been in church for a while. And it says, Paul says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. God works in our lives. God works in our prayers for our ultimate good. In God's providence. You know what that word means, providence? It means that he oversees and is in control of all. In God's providence, all things ultimately will result for good to those who love him. Now, notice he didn't say everything's going to turn out good for everybody, right? It's a promise for his people, for those he has called, and for those who love God. It's interesting when it says all things. I've read a number of different commentaries, things. When it says all things, it's especially referring to specific times of suffering and adversity. That's the context here. And we think of good things, good things turn out for good. Yeah, that's pretty easy. Well, what about the bad things, the hard times, the painful times? That's what he's talking about. Many of us will face the evil and the consequences of this fallen world. Every day we face it. It's the marvel of God's wisdom and grace that we are able, that we are made to have those things work for our good. It's only because of God's grace in our lives. Disappointments at some point will be understood. Evil will be overruled for good. And sometimes we're able to see the good. Right? Sometimes years later, we're able to see a lot of the good that came out of something that was initially bad. But you know what? There's a lot of things that we're not going to ultimately know until we come before God, until we're with the Lord. But in all these things, we're called to be led by God. by His Spirit. Allow His Spirit to lead us, especially in prayer. I mentioned just a minute ago, right, my disappointment with being rejected as a church planter. It's a pretty huge time. Later, though, our home church, Bethany Church, decided to go against the decision of the national office and believed I was called and equipped to start a church in Hubbard. And so 13 years ago, we started North Marion Fellowship. It was through this experience that a lot of things changed in my life. It was through this experience, which was pretty difficult. You know, for some of you, you may think, well, that's not that big of a deal. Okay, you're already at a church, you didn't get started. But it was something that God used in my life. A big, big disappointment that I thought for sure God, that was what God wanted me to do. But He said no at that time. And I thought maybe it was forever. But through that experience, I matured a lot. I learned a lot about what it means to trust God. I learned about what faith was. I learned what it meant to be led by His Spirit. It made me more of the person I am today that I wouldn't be if I hadn't gone through that. I know it. You know, I can look back at how God used that for good. I can look back even now and look back at the death of my father. And as a result, I was able to really grow a lot closer to my mom than I ever had been before. Obviously, taking care of her. But even more profound, even more important, was the opportunity to show and share the love of Jesus with her personally and to be a part of her accepting the Lord and coming to Christ. You know, there's things, sometimes we're going to see the good that God can bring out of us. Sometimes we're not. Sometimes we won't until later. There's many things I haven't seen for good yet of the bad things I've gone through, and I'm sure it's true for you, but I trust that God will keep His promises, that He will work all things for our good to those who love God, those who have been called by God. God the Holy Spirit is at work in our lives. I hope that as you look at your life, that you allow God's Spirit to lead you, to lead you. So let's pray in the Spirit. Let's pray in the Spirit. In other words, in communion with the Holy Spirit. Even as we pray to the Father, and that's appropriate. And as we pray in Jesus' name to Jesus, we also at times, we can pray to the Holy Spirit because He is God, right? Three in one is a mystery. The amazing work of the Holy Spirit. And then even when we can't pray, we know that He is praying for us. May we allow Him to speak through His Word, the sword of the Spirit, the Bible. And may you and I let the Holy Spirit lead us. And I hope that, you know, this bookmark won't just be a recycled thing, but you keep it somewhere and look at it once in a while. And remind yourself of how God wants to help you to lean on Him, to allow His Spirit to guide your lives. Let's be fervent, right? Let's persevere in prayer. Let's take those, go to the last slide, the 10 minutes, right? The 10-minute challenge. I received an awesome text this morning. I'm going to read it. I don't share who it is. I don't think they would mind, but I just read this part. She says, I'm going to try to add 10 minutes of prayer back into my daily routine. I've been doing it three days this week. I used to have daily times of concentrated prayer and devotions before children, but it's a lot more challenging now. I pray all throughout the day as I'm going about my day, which we are called to do. But it is definitely different when you actually quiet yourself to converse with Jesus. Thank you for the encouragement to still make prayer a priority, no matter where you are in life. I hope you have that kind of opportunity, that thing that will be a part of your life as you take that challenge. Maybe you haven't started it. Take 10 minutes, you know, Monday through Friday or every day. Maybe you want to add 5 more minutes. Maybe you went this week and 10 minutes like, oh, I barely got to what I wanted to. Whatever it is. Allow the Spirit of God to speak to you and to work in your life and allow Him to show you that prayer, God through prayer, can change our lives. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for Your Word. Holy Spirit, thank You for leading our lives. May You guide us. May You lead us. Lord, we need You. We need You to lead us and to sometimes even to pray on behalf of us. Thank You for Your love for us. Thank You, God, that You are at work in our lives. May You continue to spur us on to know You better. as we pray in the Spirit. In Christ's name, amen.